Cap, Jay Hood.
Our new morning show.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Here it is. Fastball driven right. Will it go? Yes, it will. Brian Goodwin with the bat flip and a bottom of the ninth game-winning home run for the White Sox.
He got the fastball in a fastball count, and he knew what to do with it. All day long, you dream of being the guy that gets the pitch when you're looking for it, when it counts, and Brian Goodwin is celebrated at home plate.
Yeah, I was watching that yesterday, and that was awesome, man. And the epic bat flip. I like bat flips. I think they're cool. Tim Anderson started all of it.
Sure.
Brian Goodwin won the Olympic gold in bat flip yesterday. That was awesome.
I would say that was a good win for the White Sox last night.
So,
what? It was Goodwin with the home run. It was a good win for the Sox yesterday.
Yes. You've used that one already. Yeah,
no, but it's a new audience.
Thank you. Rick Hahn is the executive vice president, general manager of the Chicago White Sox. Their games air here on ESPN 1000. You heard Connor McKnight with that call. It was an awesome day and a good weekend. Rick, good morning. Thank you for taking time for us. So as you sat down and you said, you and Kenny went, if one guy gets moved and we could get him, who do you want? Both of you said Craig Kimbrell. I've got to think the shot of adrenaline that what you did sends into your locker room is almost as important as the player itself.
You know, and thanks for having me, guys. That's actually an excellent point, Cap, in that obviously I've been with the club for a long time now and certainly have, you know, awesome memories of, you know, 2008 and the blackout game and obviously 2005 and some of the important games we played in 04, 06, and 12. And around each of those deadlines, you know, there's anticipation and there's excitement within the clubhouse about what's the front office going to do to help, you know, reinforce what we're doing. And this year was probably, you know, and I'm getting a little older, so my memory's fading, but this year in particular, the reaction in the clubhouse, not just to Adden Craig, but Cesar and Ryan as well, was as strong as what I've ever seen with this club. You know, whether it was in the coach's room or, you know, the managerial office or throughout the support staff, much less the players area of the clubhouse, there is just this buoyancy, this excitement, and frankly, this appreciation that everyone saw the same thing. We saw a team with a special opportunity, one that doesn't come around as often as any of us in the game would like, and one that we felt we had to feed. And while it's painful to give up any of the four players that we moved in order to pick up the guys we added, we knew this was a day that we looked forward to with anticipation, the day where it was time to feed today instead of planning for a distant future. We wanted to do everything in our power to maximize this window, and we feel like for at least 21 and 22, we took nice steps forward.
How do you feel personally, Rick, about the unsung heroes for the White Sox so far this season? The pickups of Goodwin, having Sheets, Hamilton, Zavala, others just coming through. This was not in the script for 2021.
It wasn't in the script specifically. It wasn't in the script saying, hey, you know what, Billy Hamilton, Jake Lamb, Brian Goodwin, we're going to add all these guys, you know, after spring training starts, and they're going to play important roles. But what was sort of generally in the script or generically in the script was having a robust player development system and a robust scouting system, and one that was going to provide us with opportunities to enhance this core. You know, you guys probably have on tape somewhere back in 16 when we started this rebuild, and some of my comments saying, look, the problem with our club wasn't players 1 through 7 or 1 through 9 on our roster. Those were about as good as anyone in baseball at the time. The issue was dipping down past 25 and not having what we needed in terms of organizational depth to withstand the inevitable injuries and underperformances that come over the course of every season. And part of what we set out to do in the rebuild was not only, you know, grow what was capable of being a championship core, but also surround it with organizational depths and processes that would allow us to augment that core when we were going to need it. And this year, you know, we've had 8 first-round picks from the last 8 years appear on this team, which is just a tremendous compliment to our amateur scouts and guys like Mike Shirley and Nick Hostetler and Doug Lauman, who ran that department over the last 8 years, much less the work of our player development people and Chris Getz and before him Buddy Bell, and the work they did to, you know, create a player development system that was able to provide the big league team with the depth we needed. Obviously, the veteran pickups like we alluded to in Hamilton, Goodwin, Lamb, et cetera, you know, that's the byproduct of our pro scouts and headed up by Dan Fabian. And it's just great to see the organization clicking in the way that we envisioned when it comes time to win.
So August 1st, you have 62 wins on August 1, and you're 9 games in front in the division. Do you know that 3 years ago to the day, August 1 of 2018, you guys were never close to that number, and you finished that season with 62 wins. Can you believe in 3 years what you've been able to accomplish?
Well, look, so this is better.
Yes.
This was where...
Definitely.
Thank you, Rick.
That's my analysis right there. you know, it's gratifying because obviously it was a difficult process along the way for the front office, the players, the staff, obviously fans, and everyone who supported the efforts. So it's nice to hear something like that. And obviously, you know, the performance in 2020 was gratifying as well. But I don't think any of us are the least bit satisfied. You know, we still have a fair amount of work to do. I know there's a tweet that went out yesterday congratulating us on winning the Central, which is just cringeworthy. In my opinion, you know, we have so much more work to do. The division is by no means wrapped up. We are by no means prepared yet to be the team we want to be come October. And obviously we anticipate, knock on wood, having some extremely difficult series to get through, hopefully 3 of them come October. So we're in a nice spot here on August 1st or 2nd, whatever it is, but we still have a long road to go, and starts tomorrow with hopefully beating the Kansas City Royals.
Jed Hoyer, the general manager of the Cubs, mentioned earlier to us that he was really lauding the fact that Lance Lynn is going to at least sign a contract extension wanting to be with the White Sox. How important is that for you that this happened in season?
You know, it's funny because we do tend to avoid having in-season contract negotiations. And over my time here, I can think of probably 2 other instances, once with Jermaine Dye and once with Mark Burley, where we engaged in season and were able to get something done. Usually you view that as a potential distraction, but, you know, in each of these 3 cases, you know, Lynn, Dye, and Burley, it was with veteran players that very clearly knew what they wanted and very clearly and directly expressed to us that this is where they wanted to be and were interested in trying to do a quick and fair deal. So it certainly is not only, you know, satisfying to have Lance in the fold for the next several years like we envisioned when we went out and got him, but it's also outstanding to see that guys who have only been with the organization for 3-4 months are that excited to make it their home and feel comfortable and see what we've are trying to put together here for the foreseeable future and want to be part of that.
So Nick Madrigal is now someone you had to move off your roster. He's the 4th overall pick. I really like this guy as a player. His last 80 plate appearances before he tore the hamstring, he hit .365 with a .425/.68 slash line and a .174 weighted runs created plus. He's only 24. Was it hard to put him in a deal, although you got the best closer in the game this season on your roster?
Oh, look, it's extremely difficult. And I can tell you some of the conversations we had about Bailey Horn, Connor Pilkington, and the work that our player development people did with him, much less Cody Hoyer, who Jed would tell you we fought like hell to try to keep out of that deal. We knew all along, and you know, Kenny and I talked about this a year ago, maybe 18 months ago, as we sort of saw what was hopefully on the horizon for us, that we were going to get to the point where we were going to have to start moving some of these guys, some of the guys that we had, you know, become enchanted with. Or look, every team in baseball is guilty of overvaluing your own prospects. There's something about when you sign a guy and he first sets foot on campus with your club and you see that growth, much less performance in the big leagues, that you become really, really attached to him. It didn't matter really which from our group we were going to move. We knew it was going to be difficult, but in the end, and you probably heard me say this about 6 weeks ago when talking about the deadline, it comes down to whether the juice is worth the squeeze. And come this year and next year, in our opinions, and hopefully after that too, we're in the midst of doing something potentially special. So it's certainly some pretty good taste in juice, so it's time to make that move.
Yep. Thank you very much. And a full-throated endorsement for juice there. So Rick, the job that Tony La Russa has done, is there something that we're missing that has surprised you about what he's done?
Oh, I don't think I can be surprised by really anything with Tony at this point. Obviously, we've been through a lot of positives throughout the course of the season, and I think the fact is that Tony and his coaching staff and certainly the players have done a tremendous job sort of focusing strictly on what needs to be done to win not only tonight but put us in the best position for the foreseeable future. You saw yesterday, you know, we unfortunately lost a tough game on Saturday night, and you know, there's some possible thoughts going through your head that, boy, we'd really be a bummer to drop 2 out of 3 to the Indians, the team that's chasing us. Maybe we should just go ahead and stay in rotation and start Dylan Cease instead of taking that longer-term view and trying to get our guys a little bit extra rest and keep them strong not only through the summer but into October. Obviously, we stuck with our plan and was able to bring up a kid, Jimmy Lambert, who did a tremendous job for us. Ronaldo Lopez picking up some slack yesterday for the rest of the team, and we're able to win that game and still maintain the plan, keep the plan in place of trying to keep our guys strong and protecting our guys as we go into the dog days of summer and hopefully into the fall.
In terms of Craig Kimbrell, because I've watched that guy up close, and he's just been lights out since last September, and he had said to us multiple times, I didn't have a spring training the year I had to sit out till June, and then we had a pandemic. I didn't have a spring training. Now I feel like myself, and his numbers have been eye-popping. You also, there was this narrative that you're only getting him for 2 months plus the postseason. You control him for another year with a team option. Have you already picked that up? Are you going to do that after the season? How do you handle that?
So we don't deal with anyone's options till after the season's over. Obviously, you want the full body of work and as well as their health status in place before you make any commitments like that. But certainly when we acquired Craig, it was very much with the understanding that he was controllable for 2022 and that there's a extremely strong chance that he gets to play an important role for us again next year. So we didn't view him or for that matter, Cesar Hernandez, who also has a team option on him, as simply rentals. You know, that enhances the price a little bit, which, you know, we paid knowing that this was not necessarily a one and done with either player.
As a baseball fan, Rick, what is your philosophy on starters going longer in games? We've seen this across the landscape of baseball. A lot of 5, 5 1/3, 5 2/3. Would you like to see starters here in the modern day, here in 2021, go longer in games to give it
sure,
to the bullpen?
No, we'd absolutely love that. That'd be fantastic. And certainly we all have memories of the LCS back in 2005 where our four guys went CG for each of the games. Frankly, that era's gone, and we built a bullpen, knock on wood, that should head into October to be able to pick up important outs whenever they occur, whether that's, you know, after our starter has given us 7 strong or it perhaps starts in the 6th inning. We wanted to be able to be in a position to have Tony and Ethan and Kurt Hassler be able to play matchups as soon as necessary within a game. You know, if on any given day Lance or Lucas or Carlos or anyone wants to go ahead and make it too difficult to remove them from a game third time through the order or into the 6th or 7th inning, that'd be outstanding. But we certainly wanted to have the team equipped for those occasions where you may need to go to the bullpen a little sooner than you had to in days past.
As you make a trade for a guy like Kimbrell, knowing you've got Liam Hendricks for 3 more years and he's a beast, Do you call him and say, hey, man, are you cool if we do this? How did that, does that go down?
You know, the conversations with Liam about the acquisition didn't occur till after the acquisition. But the only reason that was the case in this instance is because of how well we know Liam and how every conversation with Liam since prior to signing him has been about winning championships and not being concerned about what role he personally plays in it. In fact, his reaction to the deal is exactly what we would have expected it to be, and that is, I don't care where I pitch. I think he even said at one point, if you want me to pitch in the first, I'll pitch in the first. Let's just win a championship. So there just isn't, there just wasn't that concern about egos or roles, you know, who accumulates an individual stat, such as a save. It just wasn't really at the forefront of anyone's mind when the acquisition was made because of the character of a guy like Liam Hendricks.
I would like for Indians pitchers to stop throwing at Jose Abreu. Have you put a call into the league? Because now I'm voting for Spider Tech. If that's going to stop these pitchers from throwing it at the head or the shoulders of Abreu, they need some control. I did not like that this past series, Rick, at all, as a Sox fan.
Well, you know, look, nobody likes anyone, you know, Jose Abreu or anyone on our team or anyone on any team, you know, getting hit unnecessarily. And certainly, given the game situations, none of those were intentional in terms of trying to hit Jose. You're not gonna drive in an insurance run by hitting Jose, or I think at one point it was perhaps even our first run of the game. Anyway, none of that was on purpose. So certainly there's a game plan that is pretty obvious that they have about trying to come in on him and go high and tight as perhaps a means of setting up something away as well. And hopefully that's a game plan that, you know, since they're evidently having a little trouble executing it, that we don't see the when we go back and see him in September. But certainly there wasn't the expectation that the hitting of Jose was intentional.
Appreciate all your time. Congratulations on where you're at so far. And as you always like to tell me, we haven't done anything yet. So keep it rolling.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great day. There he is, Rick Hahn, Executive Vice President, General Manager of the Chicago White Sox.